Amen. I want to thank this church and those that have visited just for being sensitive to the Holy Ghost and sensitive to what God is doing and what he's been doing and what he's going to do. I really do appreciate you and thank you so much for that. It's amazing to get to preach in a church where people love the Lord and where people are plugging in, amen, and connecting to what God is doing. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm, if there are any visitors here today, and I believe there are a few, I want to, you know, let you know that God is here for you and will help and deliver you. Amen. But I do want to speak to every person in this building who considers themselves a believer. Amen. How many believers do we have here tonight? All right. Amen. Amen. That's just about all of us. There's a couple back there, I don't know, in the sound booth. Sister playing the keyboard wasn't raising her hand. We got to do, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Amen. I'm just messing around. But we are believers in this house. Amen. Amen. And so preachers will say often, I am not preaching for your reaction. How many of you have ever heard someone say that? But I'm preaching for your response. Well, I've come to be completely different than every one of those preachers. I'm not preaching for your response, because the response is something you ponder on and you think about, meditate on. I don't want you to meditate on this word I'm about to preach tonight. I don't want you to think about it. I'm preaching here for your reaction. All right, you'll understand in a few moments. All right, preaching for you tonight to act upon the word of God and do something about what God is desiring us to do. Amen. I want to honor everybody, your pastor and my wife and my son who is here with me, and just this church. Once again, I love each and every one of you and the privilege I've had to get to be here throughout this week. Amen. And we still have one more night after tonight, and I'm excited and looking forward to what God is doing. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Would you put your Bibles to one side? Let's ask Jesus just to align our hearts with what he wants to do here tonight. Would you lift your voice with me? In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. The privilege to be in this house, God Almighty. We love you. Go ahead, somebody right now, would you, just for a moment, just pray, just plead the blood of Jesus over our minds right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that your blood, God, would wash and cleanse us, that your blood, Jesus, would cover and protect us. You anoint my mind and loose my tongue, God, in the name of Jesus. And would you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time? Would you love Jesus? Amen. I feel Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, I feel Jesus. Amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're excited to see them here in the house of the Lord. Go ahead. About two or three people around you. After that, you may be seated. I want to title this next thought, and I won't be long. I want to title it Reaction. Reaction. Turn to your neighbor and say reaction. Amen. So I am preaching tonight for your reaction. All right. I do want you to think about what I'm saying, but here's the deal is I don't want you to think about it too long. Anyone ever heard a preacher preach and you're like, man, that was good. Okay. And all that good stuff. And then you think about it and before you know it. You thought about it too much and too long that it seems too difficult to actually do it. Anybody ever been there before? Man, plenty of times the Lord's spoken to me and I'm like, ooh, Lord, that is good. You know, and before you know it, I'm thinking and I'm chewing and so on and so forth. And before you know it, it's just out in one ear and out the other. Amen. So that I don't want you to think about it too long, but I want you to just grasp this and then you're going to have an opportunity to do it today and for the rest of your life with the help of the Lord. I believe the day of Pentecost was, as I just read to you, the book of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost was a very important day in history and even in our lives today. The day of Pentecost, the book of Acts chapter 2, was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the people that walked with Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, and not just the 12, but others as well that loved Jesus and his teachings, followed Jesus. He told them before he ascended back into heaven, he said, go to Jerusalem, tarry there in Jerusalem. In other words, wait for me, and I will endue you with power from on high. And so they were looking for this promise that Jesus had given to them. And the Bible says that one day they're in the upper room, and there on the day of Pentecost, would have been 50 days after Jesus rose, and there they are, and they're praying, and they're seeking God. The Bible says something very important. They're all in one mind. Everyone shout, one mind and one accord. Amen. And so they're in unity in what they're praying about. They're in unity in what they're doing. And I appreciate when Brother Mike got up here and he began to pray because I felt the unity of everyone praying for the same needs and the same desires. Amen. And we're talking to God. Unity is important in everything that we do. And so here are the people of God, and there they are, and they're worshiping, and they're praying to God, and they're seeking God. And all of a sudden, on that day, something amazing happens. The Holy Ghost, the Bible said, is poured out on these people. They begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. They begin to just have this amazing experience that a lot of us here have experienced before. Amen. The Holy Ghost coming to live inside of you, and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And here these people are in that time. They're making history, if you will, for the church. And this is the day the church begins. And now all of a sudden they go about, and they've got this a great experience with God. I want you to think about this for a moment. This amazing experience and encounter with God that the Spirit of God has come to now live inside of them. That same Jesus that they walked with on the earth now came and lived inside of them. Amen. That's pretty powerful. Now here's the deal. On the day of Pentecost, I believe, and I know this is about to sound crazy, but I believe that it was the day that the enemy, or hell if you will, Satan if you will, had the potential to win the war. The day of Pentecost, and now everybody's like, whoa, what are you talking about? I got you now. The day of Pentecost is the day, I believe, among many other days, but that day in particular was the day that the enemy had the opportunity to win the battle, to win the war of the gospel reaching the world. The reason for that is because on that day of Pentecost, people receiving the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle. It's the greatest thing. We believe that. We know that. I have the Holy Ghost, and I've been married, and I've graduated Bible college, and I've had a son, and those are all amazing things, but those are still not the greatest day of my life. The greatest day of my life was when Jesus turned me around, when Jesus filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost, and he set me on a path of righteousness to making heaven my home. Jesus lives inside of me, and that's an amazing thing. That's the greatest miracle you could ever receive. But you got to realize something. The enemy had the potential to win the battle on that day of Pentecost, because if these people were to never tell anybody about what they experienced, then it would have stayed with only 120 believers. What I'm telling you is that it could have stayed in that room, and at that moment they could have said, well, hey, this is so good, we're just going to keep it within this church. And in order for us to feel the Holy Ghost again, we're going to have to come back into this building in order to experience God the way that we did a week ago or a month ago. And the enemy would have won the war, because nobody would have ever heard about the gospel. But the greatest thing that Peter did on that day was not just receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, was begin to preach about the power that he had just experienced. What I'm telling you today is that it's not good enough for you to receive it and never say anything about it, because hell wins the war that way. But when hell begins to be scared is when you begin to rise up and say, wait, hold on, let me tell you about what Jesus has done with me. Let me tell you about the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you about the day that I was set free. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? We have the potential, by what you say or by what you don't say, to let hell have the victory, to allow the enemy to have the victory. It could stay in this building, but then I believe that the enemy would win. Is that all right? It's not, well, oh well. I believe if the enemy can stop what's in this room from ever leaving this building, then he's won the battle. The enemy can stop what you experienced, what I have experienced here throughout this week, what we have encountered, the moves of God, the power of God, the healing, the people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the powerful moves of God that you've experienced throughout your lives. And guess what? We have done nothing for the people that are dying, that are lost on their way going to hell today. I'm not preaching for your response. I don't want you to think about this for too long. I'm preaching for your reaction. Tonight is a call to action. Tonight is a call to say, you know what? I've got to tell somebody. I've got to shame the enemy and let hell know he's not going to win the battle. This Holy Ghost is not just going to stay within me, but it's going to get out when I go down to Fred Meyer, when I go down to the restaurant, when I go to work, and when I go to school. Somebody has got to know about what Jesus has done in your life. And you see, Peter and John, I believe they realized this. And Peter realized this on the day of Pentecost. Man, this is powerful. I don't just want it for me, but I want it for the rest of the world. I know Jesus said to go and to teach them and to preach this message to them. And the Bible says that on that day, because of Peter's message, 3,000 people were baptized and were added to the church and were baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost on that specific day. That right there is a victory. Can you imagine going back to your job and telling somebody about the miracles that God has done in this building, the miracles that God has done throughout this week, and saying, hey, guess what? Look at what happened. And next Sunday they come into the house of the Lord and they begin to experience it for themselves. A great thing is you experiencing the Holy Ghost, but I believe an even greater thing is you helping somebody else to experience that same move of God, or to have that same encounter with God. I'm preaching for your reaction here tonight, that you would do something about what God is doing in your life. And I remember it was a guy in Nebraska, as we were driving, just just randomly driving. We were driving through to get to Missouri to get to General Conference from California, me and a couple of other friends in Bible college. And we stopped in Nebraska, and it was a total God thing as we had run out of gas. And we had seen one of the, you know, running out of gas, I didn't think at the time was the will of God, but then I found out later, amen. Running out of gas is always inconvenient and always at the wrong time. Amen. It's never a right time. And I remember pulling over there on the side of the on-ramp, and I happened to be the one driving of all the six guys that were all capable of driving. I happened to be the one when the tank was empty. And so there I was, and now I felt responsible. And I just happened to see across the road a couple of people working, some workers there. And I realized they've got power tools. They got to have gas out there. And so I walked over and said, man, all I've got is a gallon. I had a huge 15-seater van with a trailer connected to it. A gallon of gas was going to get me from here to about the next 100 feet, and that was about it. And so I thought, well, in Jesus' name, here we go. And I took their last gallon of gas and put it in the van, and there all of a sudden we were only had enough to get off on the next exit. Now I remember as we got off on that next exit, there was a Walmart across from that freeway. And after we got gas, amen, and we replenished the van, and someone said, well, hey, let's go to Walmart. And I guess, well, it's always the will of God to go to Walmart. Amen. Or Fred Meyer for you guys. Amen. All right. I know you got Walmart, but that's a new thing, right? Is that what you said? Or it's clear over somewhere else. It's too far. Fred Meyer's a little closer. Amen. All right. And so it's always the will of God to go to one of these big supermarkets that's conveniently in the right place. And so there we were, and we drove over to Walmart in the middle of Nebraska, the middle of nowhere. Amen. And as we walked into the parking lot, we parked. And I remember we walked into the Walmart and you got our things and came back out. Some guy randomly, all of a sudden, he began to start cussing out one of the guys in our group. You know, it was six guys and it was only one of him. And I thought, man, this guy's crazy. I know we're Christians, but he don't know that yet. You know what I mean? All right. About half of you get what I'm saying. Anyways. And so he started yelling at one of the guys in the group, and he, you know, what's going on, and started cussing at him, and I think you're so-and-so. And it was a case of mistaken identity. He thought he was someone else that he wasn't. And to make it a longer story short, I remember, see, at that moment, we had the opportunity to say, hey, bro, that's not the guy, and just keep on walking, and nothing ever happened. That was it. It was over. But I remember the guy coming over to the van, and I got in the van, and I was in the driver's seat, and he was coming right up to me, and I thought, well, I could either turn the van on and punch it out of here and try to run away, you know, hoping to avoid any type of confrontation, or I could just, and then the guy ended up chasing me, and before you know it, it get worse than what it really needs to. And then I thought, well, or I could just roll down the window. If I get shot, Jesus, bless me and help me, Lord. Whatever happens right now, you are in control. Take the wheel. Amen. And so there I was. I'm serious. And so I just thought, well, Jesus' name. So I rolled down the window, and as the guy was, you know, telling me roll down the window, and I said, what's going on? You know, what's happening? He said, I want to know if that's not the guy. And I remember very clearly, I said, hey, pass your ID up. And the guy passed his ID up to get the real name of my friend. And as he looked at, the guy looked at our license plate, and he looked and said, oh, you're from California? Oh, bro, I'm so sorry, man. Mistaken identity, bro. I thought it was somebody else. Don't worry about it, whatever. And I said, well, you know, I told you that in the beginning, but, you know, it's all right. No problem. And I remember thinking, well, I could easily roll up the window right now and just be like, all right, brother, see you later, man, and just roll out and just keep on going about our day. But then I begin to remember, wait, hold on. I had a Pentecost experience one day, and I remember what God did in my life one day, and I felt a little bit of anger and different things driving this man, and I know that he can be delivered from those things. And so I thought, well, wait, hold on. I've got something that he needs. How many of you know you got something that they need out there? You have something that they need out there. But see, what can happen is the distractions. Someone mentioned that today, tonight. The distractions that can come against us can make us think that we're too low. We don't have enough faith, or we don't have enough God inside of us today. We didn't pray long enough or fast long enough to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm telling you, it's all a plan of the enemy to get you to never say something in the first place. Because the moment you begin to say something, things begin to happen. Holy Ghost doesn't just get inside of you, but it begins to get out into the street. It begins to get out into the city. It begins to get out into the state and change your environment. And so I remember telling that man, you need Jesus, bro. I said, this is not good what you're doing out here. The enemy is literally taking these thoughts and literally driving you to a place that you don't normally do these things, to a place of anger, to the point where you're talking about murder here in the middle of a Walmart parking lot in Nebraska. I said, bro, something is wrong. You need Jesus, man. And he started breaking down. He said, bro, you're absolutely right. He said, I'm a trumpet player in my college. This is not even what I do, man. This is not my spirit. It's not my attitude, man. And I said, look, we're going to pray for you. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost here. Come on down. We walked on out, and I remember as we began to pray, I want to say he received the Holy Ghost there, but he didn't. He was there in the parking lot. I was a little nervous, a little scared of everything that was going on, but his lips began to stammer, and I thought, man, there he is. He's so close. He's already repented, and God's about to fill him. And I thought, well, all right, God's still going to do it. And so I remember telling him, listen, I want you to go home, and I want you to read the book of Acts. And as you read the book of Acts, I want you to begin to do what the book of Acts says to do. And as you do it, God is going to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. When it says lift your hands, when it says speak in tongues, you begin to speak in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost fill you. About 2 hours later, as God is my witness, real story, I remember all of a sudden I got a text. He said, hey, bro, he sent me Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I said, good, keep on going. You're almost there. Acts chapter 2 is going to get real good. A few minutes later, he sent me Acts chapter 2. And then all of a sudden he said, hey, bro, I don't know what in the world's going on, but a few moments ago, I was sitting on my couch reading the book of Acts like you said. He said, I started speaking words and sentences that I couldn't understand. Tears flowing down my eyes. I'm trying to tell you today, there are people that are hungry for the Word of God. There are people that are hungry for the power of the Holy Ghost, for the experience that you have experienced, for the love that you have felt, for the joy that you know. People are hungry in this world, but we have got to have a reaction. Would you clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Yes, Jesus. I said this in the Bible study on Sunday morning, but I remember being there in the prison, preaching, ministering in the prison. I was not in prison. You get that right. And as I was there ministering, I'm watching a couple of guys here watch something on TV, a couple of guys there working out, and a couple of people on the phone call right behind them and using all of their girlfriend's minutes and their mom's minutes and all that. And all of a sudden, people are here in the Bible study, and I'm preaching the power of God and the Holy Ghost. And in the next moment, I remember all of a sudden, about 7 people got the Holy Ghost. The guys that were there, you know, they were looking. I mean, this is in front of everybody. This wasn't a chapel. This was literally, the guy's taking a shower right above me. Promise. That's a real deal here. And I remember, I'm thinking, I had to shout and raise my voice just so they can hear me. And people are like this on the phone with their loved ones, and they're telling their loved one, hold on. They would leave the phone hanging there. And I remember all of a sudden they would peek in, they'd look in, and what's going on, man? They'd listen. And before you knew it, we walked over there, and they're, hey, man, what's going on? And I said, listen, God's going to fill you right now. God would begin to fill those guys. They're wasting all their loved ones' minutes still getting the Holy Ghost. And I remember all of a sudden there was one man. You see, this is what reaction is all about. There was one man that was there. He wasn't even in the Bible study. He came all the way over to where we were, and he looked at me. He nudged me. He said, hey, bro. He said, excuse me. He said, I don't know what's going on, but I want what that guy's got. And that guy was speaking in tongues. I said, good. Lift up your hands. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't even in the Bible study, but he said, I got to have a little bit of what's going on here today. I'm telling you, there are people that are experiencing and desiring more of Jesus. That man lifted up his hands and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. I'm telling you, it's happening all over this world. People are hungry for what God is doing. People are hungry here today. If somebody would have a reaction and begin to tell them about the power of God, God will begin to do it. It was Peter and John walked up there to the gate of the temple. Now, I'd like to believe this, that it was not Peter and John's first time walking into the temple on the Sabbath. They had been there before, probably every Sabbath, faithfully going into the house of the Lord, into the synagogue there, to hear the word of the Lord and to pray on the Sabbath and devote that day to God. Absolutely. And they began to walk in. It was part of their life. I mean, this was the way they grew up as Jews. They're walking into the temple, they're into the synagogue, and all of a sudden, you can imagine that as they're walking in, they would see the same lame man there for years before that particular day in the book of Acts. Amen? I mean, the lame man knew where to ask for alms. I've been to Israel, and I've actually seen people on the steps as you go down to the Western Wall, as you're on your way, which is where the temple would have been. And they're asking for alms today, to this day. They know where to ask for alms when people are about to go pray. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever notice that all of a sudden on Sunday, everyone just brings out the signs? Amen. Anyone wants to do a good deed, God bless, will receive your money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Happens a lot more in the mainland, but anyways, for real. And so people know Sunday morning, man, that's prime time. You know, people are on their way to church. I mean, Peter and John would have known this man to be lame, would have seen him plenty of times before. It wasn't the first time, right? It wasn't the first time they'd seen a man lame. And there they are, all of a sudden, one day they walk up to the temple to go and do what they would do on every other Sabbath day, just like they always had done. And there they are walking up, and all of a sudden, there's a lame man. Wait, hold on. But there's something different about this particular encounter, this particular time. I believe that Peter and John, as the Bible says, they had just experienced the Holy Ghost. They had just experienced an encounter with God where they begin to speak with other tongues. And all of a sudden, the power of God, as a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole entire house. And here Peter and John are, all of a sudden, they probably remembered, wait, hold on. I remember what just happened a few moments ago, just probably a few days ago, what happened in the upper room. We begin to pray and worship. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost began to come in and fill us. And here I am. And there they are in that place. And they're thinking, man, here I am, and the power of God's living inside of me. Wait, hold on. That lame man is still lame. It's the same guy, but the only thing that's different is now they've got power living inside of them to be able to command the lame to get up and walk. Jesus is gone, but Jesus came to live inside of them, and they've realized I've got power living in me. If somebody were to wake up to this revelation and were to begin to react to the power of God living inside of them, I'm telling you, there is no telling what would happen in this city. There is no telling what would happen here in this state. God would do absolutely crazy miracles in this state and in this city if somebody were to react to the power of Jesus living inside. We have an opportunity to react here today. Oh yeah, we've got an opportunity to see people healed outside of the church, to see people filled outside of the church. See people filled outside of the sanctuary. I'm telling you, if hell were to keep whatever is in here, still in here after tonight's service, then he could potentially win the battle. Think about it. If what we do here during the week and what we do here on Sunday is never talked about throughout the week, then he's won. I'm afraid the enemy is won in that particular case. But when we can decide, wait, hold on. Sunday is a highlight. And I'm going to take that highlight throughout the rest of my week. To tell somebody, now I'm just giving it to you practical, to tell somebody about what God has done in my life. I want to challenge somebody from tonight till tomorrow night to tell somebody. If you don't get out of your house much, then get out and go to Fred Meyer and just tell somebody. If you have nothing to buy, no reason to go buy it, that's all right. Don't matter. You'll find a reason when you get down there. You'll find something you don't have and you'll end up buying it. Can I get an amen on that? But when you're there, you tell somebody about what Jesus is doing. It's all about our reaction. It's all about what we're willing to tell somebody, what we're going to tell somebody, or what we're not. I believe that we have that power living inside of us. I believe that here today that we have, but we've got to say something. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, Peter prays for a disciple named Tabitha, a young lady, and the Bible says that she was dead, and as she was dead, there was people that went and called for Peter, and Peter went by, and he kneeled down, the Bible says, and he prayed, and then all of a sudden, he looked at Tabitha, and he said, "Arise, Tabitha," and all of a sudden, Tabitha woke back up and came back from the dead. That's powerful, right? That's amazing. Something to get excited about. How can people get excited if they don't know? How can people know about Jesus being powerful? How can they get excited about that if they don't know? I know this is convicting. It's all right. But I know that this is something that will change our world around us. Will change our lives around us. Our reaction. But what I love in the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 41, let's go there. And the Bible says, "And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive." The miracle happened and he presented the miracle to them. Here, this is what Jesus did. Boom. She's alive. That's awesome. Right? But the next scripture, I believe, is one of the most powerful scriptures in this chapter. And it says this, "And it was known throughout all," everyone say, "all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." It was known. How do you think that the miracle of Tabitha arising was known? How do you think the miracle of Tabitha coming back from the dead was known? Somebody decided, "I've got to have a reaction." I'm telling you, there are too many miracles that we've already talked about that I've discovered here in this church that have happened just this week and have even happened years before. I'm telling you, there are people in Sterling that should know. It should say that all of Sterling knows and believes in the Lord. It should say that all of Soldotna believes and knows in the Lord. I'm telling you, that's what it should be here today. That's what our scripture should write here today. That somebody had a reaction and said, "I'm going to tell somebody about the miracles of God. I'm going to tell somebody about the power of Jesus that's living inside of me." Would you clap your hands one more time to Jesus? Till everybody knows. Till everybody knows. Till everybody knows. Till every unbeliever becomes a believer. Till every person that doesn't know Jesus hears the name of Jesus. Till every person that hasn't experienced this at least has a chance. Until every person can experience the love of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, here today we have the opportunity to react. I've got the opportunity to react. You have the opportunity. I don't want you to think about this for too long. Is that all right? I don't want you to ponder on it too long. What happens is we sometimes analyze what would happen if I started saying something. People start looking at me cross-eyed, thinking I'm weird. A miracle, what are you talking about? That don't happen. This is 2018, bro. And get an amen on that. Anyone ever told somebody about Jesus and just been rejected? Raise your hand for me, please. I remember I was praying for a guy. I was maybe about 9 years old. My dad just put us out there real young. That's just how he is. And I remember all of a sudden we went out to go and pass out cards, and we did this 10-second prayer thing, Pastor. And I remember we would go out, and we would, because people in Los Angeles, here in Alaska, they have a little bit more time. You know, it's a little more slow pace. But out there in Los Angeles, you know, people are just trying to move. They don't want you to talk to them. "Get out of my way. I got things to do, people to see, places to go." You know, that's how they are. So you got to walk and talk, you know. So we would do this 10-second prayer thing, and we'd just come up as people were walking out of the store. We'd come out from behind the cars, you know. Anybody ever passed out tracts at Fred Meyer or something like that, you know? Nobody? Anybody ever? You guys don't do that? Yeah, okay, all right, a couple of you, all right. Or you passed out tracts somewhere, you just stay there. "Oh, we're going to pass out." We used to do that Target. We used to, until they kick you out, you know. Eventually they do. Anyways, all right. Now I'm crossing the line. Anyways, as we were there, I remember people coming out of the stores and we would walk with them. Excuse me, sir. Can I do a 10-second prayer? Yeah. Would you mind if I pray with you for about 10 seconds? And finally, within that couple of seconds, when they hear 10 seconds, they're like, oh, yeah, all right, fine. Go ahead. You got 10 seconds, you know, and we're all right. And so I would say, would you bow your heads and let's close our eyes. And so I remember bowing my head, closing my eyes. And all of a sudden I begin to pray in the name of Jesus. And there I am in the middle of the parking lot. I mean, everyone's watching, and I'm going in Jesus' name, Lord, would you touch their finances, touch their body, touch their mind. And I'm going in about 8 seconds into my prayer. I don't hear anything on the other side. And that's sometimes normal, too. And so I just kind of peek my eye open, and I realize they are long gone. Either they were an angel or they got in their car really quick and took off. You know what I mean? It was the latter for sure. I mean, they got in the car and took off when I wasn't looking. All right, amen. I just had to tell that story because it's all happened to all of us, right? You know, you knock on the door and they just, oh, no, we're good. Thank you. We don't want none of that. Man, I don't know how many times I got that. I'm telling you. But every once in a while, you're going to get somebody. Oh, yeah. You're going to get somebody as you're flowing in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And as you have the right reaction and you say, hey, hold on, I want to tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about this miracle that happened. All of a sudden, something's going to happen. And it's going to happen to be the right lame man at the right temple at the right time. It's going to happen to be the right 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost on the right time. It's going to happen to be the right message. You've got it. You've got it today. Amen? And Jesus wants us today to have that opportunity to react. I'm telling you, we've got it here in this place. I remember chapter 14 of the book of Acts. What I'm bringing to you is all of these people, and I could go on and on and on. All these apostles had a reaction. Every one of these miracles started with a reaction. Every one of these moments of witnessing started with a reaction. Paul, all of a sudden, he's preaching, the Bible says, and there's a lame man sitting there. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Paul perceives faith in the man, turns to him and says, stand upright on your feet and walk. And the man literally gets up and starts walking. That right there is a reaction. That right there doesn't happen by just, well, hopefully maybe I'll get to see a miracle like that one day. No. It happens when somebody says, no, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to do something to show somebody that what I have is real. I'm telling you here today that we are able to see and to experience these things in our lives. Amen? We are able to experience these things in our lives. No doubt about it. I remember being in Colorado, and there was a lady that was there, rolled her wheelchair up to the front of the church. And as she was there, I was preaching to the young people. And I told the young people, I want you to go over and pray for her. And as you begin to pray for her, God's going to do something. And they walked on over. I remember about 10 of them. And they went on over, and they literally grabbed her by the hand. And there they are. And they are praying, commanding her to get out of that wheelchair. And all of a sudden, as the power of God was moving in that place and in that church, I mean, the power of the presence of God was so thick, and people believed with so much faith. I mean, young people, it was not preachers, it was not pastors, it was not pastors' wives, it was young people all under the age of about 20 years old. And I remember they were there and they were just praying and going in. And before I know it, I look over and there they are pulling her out of that wheelchair. And the power of God healed that lady. She began not only walking, but she was dancing as the power of God healed that lady's body. It doesn't happen if you don't have a reaction. But the moment that you do, God begins to show up, because he's not going to leave you stranded. If you're willing to take the first step, God will meet you halfway and bring you the rest of the way. I'm telling you, if you're willing to step out of the boat, God will allow you to walk on waters that you have never walked on before. God will allow you to enter places that you've never gone before. I wish somebody believe what I'm talking about today. God will do it if you're willing to react. God will do it if you're willing to react to the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you clap your hands one more time to Jesus? Clap your hands one more time. I feel the Holy Ghost moving here in this building. Would you shout unto the Lord? Come on, let's see it. Would you entertain
the presence of God. Jesus is allowing there to be a boldness in this building to enter your heart, to enter your spirit, to react to the power, to react to the testimonies of Jesus Christ.
Say this last thing, and then we'll come up and we'll begin to pray. And I'm going to actually ask you to do something here in a moment that might be kind of off the wall, but we're going to do it together. But I remember as we were in Hawaii, and as we were preaching there, I told you about the prison, preaching in the prisons, and it was powerful. It was amazing. But I remember how that revival started. And I mean, this blew my mind. The way the revival started, the first person that ever received the Holy Ghost in Hawaii, when we were there, this last time that we were there in January, in December and January, was a lady that was outside of her apartment complex. Notice it was not in the church. And I remember she was sitting there. She was there smoking a cigarette. And I had a few minutes to just head on down to the beach and kind of meditate on my own. That was just some time I wanted to take for myself. And the Lord decided to interrupt that. Now, in your time and effort of having a reaction to tell somebody about Jesus, expect Jesus to interrupt your day and be okay with that. Because if you're too busy, then you'll miss it. He'll be too busy to tell you something about who to go and talk to, who to go to pray for. And so anyway, there I was, and I remember all of a sudden he said, "Hey, I want you to go back and talk to that lady." And I thought, oh, I've only got a few minutes. If I go back, there's no way I'm going down to the beach, you know. And I thought, well, I better listen to Jesus, you know. It's always a good idea, right? Amen. So as I circled back and I went over, I walked up to her and I just began to talk to her and just tell her, hey, and I told her, you know, the Lord told me to come and talk to you. And sometimes you can do that. That's okay, all right? It gives people confidence that you're not just there just talking to them for no reason. It helps sometimes believe it, especially when people already think it's weird that you're approaching them. Say, hey, you know what? Jesus told me to come talk to you. And then I said, you know, is there anything that I can pray with you about, you know, and just kind of feel our situation. And I remember she just stood there, or excuse me, she sat there and she just looked at me and just, well, you know, I'm kind of going through this and going through that. And I thought, all right, well, let me pray with you. Would that be all right? And she said, yeah, that's okay. And we prayed, and I thought, man, you know, maybe she'll get the Holy Ghost. Maybe she'll get baptized. I don't know. Maybe something crazy will come out of this. And nothing happened. We prayed, and that was it. And I walked away, and I, you know, praise God. Hey, there's a service here and there. I invited her to church, and I thought, man, praise God, with help of the Lord, we'll get to connect with her. And I walked away, got in my car, and I went back to the house. I was staying at my in-law's house. And remember the next day, as we were driving away, there she was again. And the Lord told me, hey, why don't you go ahead and stop again? I thought, Lord, come on now. You know, that's you stop once, all right. You know, you stop again, they're like, what's going on? What do you want? You know, can I get amen on that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And so I remember I stopped and I just thought, well, okay, here we are, you know, let's give this another try. And so I walked over to where she was and I said, excuse me, I feel like God's wanting to do something in your life. And I began to talk to her and just tell her whatever I felt in the Holy Ghost. And remember all of a sudden she looked up and she said, you know, I've been dealing with some things. And she talked to me about depression and feeling different things in her family and the pressures of stress. And she said, you know, I just don't know what to do. And she began to cry instantly. And I remember tears coming down her eyes. I said, listen, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God to come live inside of you. Now, we weren't in a church building. I didn't have some good music like we do, like we've had every revival service. I didn't have some good singing to anoint, you know, what was going on. It was Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost. It was Jesus or no Jesus. That's it. It was either real or wasn't real. Either it was going to happen or it wasn't going to happen. I thought, look, you need the Holy Ghost. Jesus will give you the joy that you're looking for right now. I mean, isn't that what they did in the book of Acts? Yes. They reacted.
And so I thought, all right, here we go. God's going to do something. Do you want the Holy Ghost? She said, yeah, I'm ready. I want it. And I said, all right. I began to walk her through. Why don't you ask God for forgiveness? She said, okay. She asked God for forgiveness, put her head down right there. She said, when you feel God's forgiving you, I want you to lift your hands. She lifted up her hands and just kind of real timid. I remember there she was. She threw her head back. And we began to pray and command her to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the next few moments, I remember another guy had come and he had stopped off and literally come over to where I was praying, laid his hand on that lady, and we both began to pray for that person. He started speaking in tongues. Apparently, he had the Holy Ghost, had no idea who he was, and someone in the prisons from our church was actually giving him Bible studies, and he got the Holy Ghost while in prison. He saw something happen and said, I got to go see what's going on. That lady ended up getting the gift of the Holy Ghost right there in that street, not in the church building, but because somebody decided, I've got to have a reaction. Can you imagine what would happen at Fred Meyer? Can you imagine what would happen at your job? Can you imagine what would happen at your school? Can you imagine what would happen if somebody reached out just for a moment and said, hey, I've got to tell you about Jesus. I got to tell you about what he's done in my life. And on that revival, 63 people were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. There were 63 people that were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. That is Jesus moving. And that's how he wants to move here in this city. God wants to do it. Would you clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Would you clap your hands? Would you stand with me, everybody? Would you stand? Would you stand quickly? And I want you all know people in this city and in the cities neighboring. You all know people here, right? Amen? Friends at school, people at work, and so on. This is good, what I'm about to tell you to do, okay? I want you to grab your phone out. Now you're like, what's really going on? Some of you don't have your phone. You left them in your car. That's all right. You're spiritual people. I know. Okay. Those of you that have your phone on you, grab your phone out, please, quickly. And I want you to text somebody about just a quick miracle that Jesus did. You can say, hey, you know what? The Lord healed Brother Abbott from cancer several years ago, and I just want you to experience the same power that he experienced. It really changed his life, and he's still here living as a testimony. I don't remember your name, sister. I'm sorry. Would you tell me your name? Yeah. Sister Esther was healed, right, from the wheelchair? Years ago. Amen. I want you to tell them about that. Go quickly if you can. There's someone in my church that was healed. The power of God began to move on them. Brother Don was filled with the Holy Ghost this Sunday. I'm giving you things to react upon and say right now. Text them. Tell them, hey, we've got one more service coming up tomorrow night. And if they don't come tomorrow night, that's all right. They've got Sunday and the rest of the times that you all are here. I'm telling you, the power of God's still going to be moving. The greatest thing is that revival would continue, not just stop, not just happen for a week and then stop. The greatest thing is that revival would continue. Amen. But God wants to do it right now. Would you text somebody, invite them to church and tell them we've got church on Thursday. We've got it on Sunday. God's going to do something great in these next weeks. God's going to do something amazing and people will get the Holy Ghost, but God's looking for our reaction. That's it right now. Go ahead. That's in the Holy Ghost. That's all right. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Can I get the sister to come and play the keyboard here? Whoever it is. Okay, Sister Glover. Thank you. And we're going to pray here. When you're done with that, you can put your phone back away. And then the no phone rule in church still applies. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. No, that's all right. If you're still doing that, that's important. It's called reaction. Way to put it to work. See, I don't want you to think about this too long. Start thinking about it too long and think about what am I going to say?
How am I going to say it? I mean, is this miracle good enough? These people have been here before. I've already told them about church. They got the Holy Ghost and they, you know, they've left God and they've left church. And I don't forget about all that. That's it. Just tell them about Jesus one more time. This could be the winning moment. Amen. And we're all going to pray together. I want you to come down to this altar, everybody together. And we're going to pray for something very specific. If you feel like praying after that, that's all right. This is a little bit different, this Bible, this message, because it takes time to do. And we're going to pray, and we will. We have a great move of God, and we'll get a hold of Jesus. Go ahead, would you come, everybody, down to this altar? And right now, just for a moment, what I want you to do is I want you to pray that God in this next week would lead you to somebody. Lead me to somebody, God. Put somebody in my path. Sincerely, I want you to pray that if you know your path, you know where you're going in the next week, you know when you're going to work, how you're going to get there, you know which coffee shop you're going to stop by on the way over there, whatever it is, get specific with the Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to send me somebody, put someone in my path that I can tell about your power, that I can tell about your love. Serious. Ask the Lord to do that. Send me a lame man, Jesus, that's sitting in front of the temple. Send me a 3,000, group of 3,000 that's ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Send me somebody, Jesus, a lame man in the middle of my mess. I don't know who it is, a Tabitha who might die, need a word of life. Somebody might be dead spiritually in their life and they need a word of life. And you're going to be that extension of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Is this okay? Would you lift your hands with me? And I want you to put that person in your mind. Or if you don't have a person, I want you to talk to Jesus. Lord, put them in my path this week, Jesus. Put them in my path. Revival is going to continue. Revival is going to continue. This is what it's all about here today, Jesus. Would you put them in my path? I want to tell somebody, because this power is too big just to stay here. This power is too big. It's too real, Jesus. You've been too good for it to just stay in this building. You've been too good, Jesus, for it to just stay here within these four walls. I'm here today. I'm here today by the power of Jesus. But I want people to know. I want to make heaven my home with people right now that are on their way to hell, that are going to find Jesus through my testimony, that are going to come to Jesus through my testimony. That's it. That's it right now. Lord, put somebody in my path. Go ahead right now. Would you lift your voice to Jesus? Put somebody in my path. God, allow me to be sensitive to your voice in the name of Jesus. Jesus.